have a question on this morning's lesson, or you have a question on how you can be sure you're on your way to heaven, you stay behind. I'll be glad to help you, or one of the counselors here, or one of the Sunday school teachers. Every eye up front, no talking or whispering for our lesson for this morning. In last week's lesson, we found out how that they took Joseph and they stripped him of that coat. After they stripped his coat from him, then they threw him in the pit. It was after they threw Joseph into the pit, and as they sat down and mocked him, that a group of Ishmaelites and Midianites came along. And so Joseph was hauled out of the pit and sold to the Gentiles. Surely the wrath of God shall praise him, and the remainder of wrath shall thou restrain. Yes, he was sold to the Gentiles. Oh, how the story reminds us of the Lord Jesus. Because what they did to the Lord Jesus is they stripped him of his coat, and then they killed him, and he was put in the tomb. But we found out last week that 3 days later, up from the grave, he arose. And because he lives, you and I can live also. The Lord Jesus is not dead. No, he is alive. And Joseph in our story was not dead either. Joseph was on his way to Egypt. He was long gone when Brother Reuben had come back to the pit. When he came back to the pit, he looked down and said, "Joseph! Joseph! Joseph, can you hear me, Joseph?" There was no response. So I suppose what Reuben had with him was a rope or something to get him out and twirled it around to feel him down there to see if he had fallen asleep or something. But then he realized that he was gone. He went back to his brothers and he said, "He's gone! Yeah, we know he's gone. We sold him! Oh, what will Father say? Oh, don't worry about it, Reuben. You're always worrying. Yes, but I'm the oldest. And Father will put the blame on me." Reuben, we've got it all figured out. What we've got is the coat. Here's your 2 pieces of silver. 2 apiece. We've taken the coat, Reuben, and we've ripped it up. And we're going to dip it in blood. And then we'll show it to Dad. Let him think what he wants to think. And Reuben, keep quiet. Don't say anything. The less you say, the better off it will be. And so the boys started home to Father. It was approximately 30 years before this that Father Jacob had tricked his father, deceived him. What he did with his mother is they killed a goat, and when they killed the goat, they took the skins of the goat. They put it on his arms and around his neck. Jacob went in and pretended that he was his brother, Esau. So he tricked his father into giving him the blessing. Yes, it was for that reason he had to run away from home. Because Esau said, "When Dad dies, I'll kill him." But the lesson is this, fellows and girls and men and women. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Oh, listen. What you sow, it will reap. And it will come back in many more fold. And so the fellas started on their way home to see Dad. As they got close to the home, no doubt one of them spoke up and said, "Now wipe the smiles right off of your face. And try to look a little mournful and sad. Say nothing to speak of. let Dad draw his own conclusions. We'll just show him the coat. And so the brothers, as they came, Dad was there. And as they came to their father, they showed what they had found. Right away, Father Jacob, he jumped to the conclusion and said, "It's his coat, all right. I made it with my own hands. Some wild animal has come about and killed him. I'll go to my grave weeping for him." Jacob did weep. He grieved deeply. And you know, those hypocrites, they tried later to try to comfort Father, and even their wives tried to comfort him and the grandchildren. But what he responded to was this: "I'll go to my grave in mourning." There's another man in the Word of God that lost a son through death too. His name was David. And when he found out that his son had died, he got up and he went to the house of God and worshiped the Lord. Now both of them were believers, but oh, what a difference. You see, David, he looked beyond the grave. But Jacob, he still focused on the grave. And you know, there's some people who refuse to be comforted there. They don't want comfort. Oh, I want to tell you something. If you lose a loved one, and that person knows Jesus Christ, the Savior, what happens to them is they go home to be in the presence of the Lord. Oh, yes, you should have sorrow. You should weep, but then you should get over it. Do you know something, that the Lord Jesus himself wept? Why, at the tomb of Lazarus, the Lord Jesus wept. And he even knew that within just a few moments, he was going to be raised from the dead. Oh, yes, he wept with them. But you see, we need to weep. But we only feel sorry for ourselves when we continue to weep and refuse to be comforted. And Jacob, yes, he continued to mourn for his son. But the key thing in this whole lesson right here is that they brought that coat that was stained with blood to the father. Oh, fellows and girls and men and women, I want to make it clear to you that when the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross, of whom Joseph is a picture or a type, the blood was presented to the Father. Oh, never forget that point. We read that verse, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin." You see, even if no one ever came to know Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior, the Lord Jesus would have died on the cross and shed his blood in obedience to the Father. Oh, I'm so glad he died for me. I trust this morning that you know that he died for you. The Lord Jesus is alive, as I said. And Joseph was alive too. Plunk, plunk, plunk. Joseph walked behind that smelly old camel. And then there was the smell of the myrrh and the spices and the perfumes. And the dust would blow up into his face. It would make him sick. He would choke with it. It was so nauseous. But Joseph either had to walk in step or else he would have been dragged behind that camel. He was tied. No one seemed to care. And as he left, the brothers laughed at him. "We'll see what will become of your dreams, dreamer boy." There wasn't any pity showed by the merchant men either. Those Ishmaelites and Midianites,
what they were going to do was to sell him. Oh, it wasn't that Joseph wasn't fed. Of course he was fed. They wouldn't starve him because, after all, they were going to sell him.
And you wouldn't want a starved slave. Didn't get much, though. All he would have gotten would have been some parched corn or porridge or a crust of bread.
Joseph, he had to walk behind that camel. And as he did, perhaps he might have cried out like the psalmist did in Psalms 38.
Oh, for in thee, O Lord, is my hope. Hear me, O Lord, my God. But my enemies, they are lively and strong. And they that hate me wrongfully are multiplied. And they that render evil for good are my adversaries. Because I follow after that which good is. Forsake me not, O Lord my God. Be not far from me. Make haste to help me, O Lord, my salvation. O God, I need you. Joseph, he would have cried out to God over and over again, why? That whole day. He had to walk until sundown. And then the caravan came to a stop. It wasn't easy for Joseph to sleep that night. He would have thought over and over about his father. And only if father was there, he would have set him free. He would have also thought maybe about Reuben. Reuben oftentimes was very good to me. But I don't remember seeing Reuben there. Oh, God. I need you. Then, I suppose because he was tied to the camel, that he couldn't go very far, so he might have even laid his head on the camel that was resting. And do you know something? Sometimes even animals, they're more sensitive to people's needs than people are. But as Joseph laid there, he might have even thought, as the psalmist says, has the Lord forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? Oh God, I need you. And then finally, Joseph fell asleep. He wasn't sleeping long when all of a sudden he heard, up, 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 come on, get up, get up. They had to get up. He had to get up and walk and get in step or else be dragged. And so the caravan was in a hurry on its way to Egypt. And then, as they were traveling along, all of a sudden, Joseph realized, I know this place. I've been here before. Because if you look on the trade route, the first place that they would have come to was Bethel. He had been there with Father before. Father had brought the family to Bethel, and Father actually showed him the place. When he ran away from home, where God spoke to him in a dream. When he saw those angels ascending and descending upon that ladder that was going to heaven. Then Father Jacob said to them, God made a promise to me that he would never leave me. Do you know, children? If you come to know God, he'll never leave you. Oh, God, you promised to be with my father. And now, God, I need you. Please be with me. Do you know? The more he thought about God, the more a peace came into his heart. Do you know what the Bible says? Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust in the Lord Jehovah, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. And there was a peace that came over Joseph. His brothers didn't have that peace. You can be sure of that. But Joseph had that peace. Yes. And you can have peace no matter what your troubles are, if you keep your heart and your mind stayed upon the Lord. But they traveled along. And as they traveled on the trade route, then it started all over again. And the tears welled up. And he began to cry because he knew the next place too. It was Bethlehem. You remember what happened in Bethlehem? That's where his mother died, Mother Rachel. She was buried under the oak tree. It was ever since then that he had all kinds of problems in the family. Yes. Joseph remembered that spot too. But as he thought about it, he thought to himself, I got to grab a hold of myself. God has promised to be with me. At least I wasn't dead. I'm not dead. I'm alive. And I got lots to be thankful for. Joseph continued to walk along. And as they walked along, the next main place they would have come to would have been Hebron. That's right near home. And I suppose Joseph had hopes again that sprung up within him as he thought about the fact. Perhaps maybe one of the grandchildren will be out on the roadside and I can cry out for help and they'll go to Dad. He'll set me free. But as he thought about it, he knew they wouldn't be there. The children were told over and over again not to go near the trade route, lest trouble would come upon them. But maybe Dad would be there for business. But they came, and there was no father. There was no one to set him free. Joseph had to walk along and step with the camel. And then all of a sudden, they were in Egypt. Oh, Egypt, you know, it was a lot different than what he was used to. Right coming down through Egypt was the river Nile. And on both sides of the river, there was all kinds of trees and shrubs and flowers. There was palm trees, sycamore trees, acacia trees. There was all, well, it was very plush. And not only that, why, there were houses. You see, Joseph, he had always lived in tents. But these people were living in houses. And then, as he looked around, he saw the big pyramids that they had built in Egypt. But he also saw the slaves. And when he saw the slaves, again, he would have cried out to God, oh, help me, God, to be the slave that you want me to be. And if thy presence do not go with me, carry me not up hence. Joseph would have cried out to God often on that trip. And then all of a sudden, they were arriving in the capital city, which was known as Tennis. And as they arrived in Tennis, they kept marching on until they came to the marketplace. Oh, this was a market like he had never seen before. There was goats and cows and sheep and chickens and fish of all kinds, and there was all kinds of fruits and vegetables, melons and onions and garlic and leek, you name it, it was all there at the marketplace. And then all of a sudden the caravan came to a stop, and there were these young boys, dark skins with dark flashing eyes, that helped the caravan leaders unpack the caravan. Joseph knew what was going to happen, all right. This was the place where everything was going to be sold. He was untied from the camel and no doubt was taken over to a hitching post and tied there. Joseph realized he was going to be sold as well. And then there was a man that stood up. He spoke in the Egyptian language, so Joseph didn't understand him, but there was one word he understood. It was the word sold. Everything was being sold. One right after another. Everything was going to be sold. Joseph knew too that he was going to be sold. So it came his turn to stand on the block to be sold. You can be sure that Joseph cried out to God again, that whoever bought him would be kind and gentle. He also would have asked God to help him to be a servant that would be honoring to the Lord. Then finally that word came. Sold! And there was a kindly looking man that came forward and took him. Joseph found himself in a chariot. And there, he was taken to a great big palatial hall. He could hardly believe his eyes as they rode up the driveway. And Joseph, he wanted to be a good servant. And he asked God, I'm sure, over and over, that he would be the servant that God wanted him to be. You know, the Lord Jesus was a servant. We hear those words in Luke chapter 22 and verse 27 where it says, "For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat? But I am among you as he that serveth." And then the key verse to the Gospel of Mark, it's chapter 10 and verse 45 where it says, "Even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many." We read that thought again in the book of Matthew in chapter 20, yes, where it says, "For whosoever will be great among you, let him be a servant, let him be a minister. Whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many." And then we read in Corinthians where it says these words, "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake." Oh, that we might know what it is to be a servant. Oh, you see, the Lord Jesus was a servant. And so was Joseph. And Joseph, because he became a servant, he got another coat. Oh, it wasn't a coat of many colors, no. His second coat was a servant's coat. Yes, now he was dressed as a servant. And he wanted to do the best he could for the Lord. You see, there's a verse in Deuteronomy chapter 28 that says this, "And it shall come to pass, and it shall come to pass that," "that if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of thy, unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and do all his commandments which I have commanded you this day, that I will exalt you, yes, above all the nations of the earth. And the blessing of the Lord shall be upon you, and the blessing shall overtake you, yes, if you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord." There's a verse in the New Testament, we read it this morning too, in Colossians chapter 3, where it says, "Whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men." Oh, that you may do that, my friends. We need to, yes, do everything that we do as unto the Lord. You see, no matter where you are, what kind of a job you got, or at school, or at home, we need to serve the Lord. And whatever we do, we need to do it heartily as unto the Lord. And Joseph did that. You know, as a result, why Joseph was a quick learner. They liked him right from the start. And God was with him. Why, not only was God with him, but the Bible tells us that God made Joseph prosperous in this home. And Joseph found out that he was working for a man by the name of Potiphar. He was the captain of the guard. Why, he worked for the ruler of the land. He was a military man. He was in charge, I suppose, like what we would say of the military, and he was a captain of the guard. And Potiphar liked him because he did whatever he was asked to do. And he did it, and he learned his job well. And in no time at all, why, Potiphar decided to make Joseph Lord or head over all of everything that he had. And Potiphar learned something else. He learned that because of Joseph, he prospered. Oh, not only did Joseph prosper, but Potiphar prospered as well. And Potiphar was very pleased with Joseph. Now, as you read the story, you're going to find out that the Bible says that Joseph was a good-looking man. Now, of course, beauty is in the eyes of the beholder, but God's Word says he was an attractive, good-looking man. Little different how they thought about the Lord Jesus, because as we read there in the book of Isaiah, they said this, he hath no form nor comeliness, or no lordliness, or no majesty. As they spoke about the Lord Jesus, there is no beauty in him. That's how his own people looked at him. But you know what it says in the Song of Solomon, chapter 5, and verse 16? Yea, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved, and this is my friend. I wonder how you look at the Lord Jesus. Do you find that he's the altogether lovely one? Or do you see no beauty in him? Well, Joseph, the Bible says, was a good-looking man. Now, I know that you girls and ladies know that the fellas have a lot of problems and troubles. And three of their big problems are the following: greed, glory, and girls. Yeah, those are the three major problems that fellows and men have. It's greed, glory, and girls. And because he was good looking on the outside, he was attracted to Potiphar's wife. But I want to say something, fellows and girls and men and women. You may not be what the world would say attractive on the outside, but you see, real beauty comes from within. It's what you are on the inside that really counts. Do you know, sometimes I have seen people who are deformed, who are badly scarred, and they're beautiful. I mean, their countenance shines because they left the Lord Jesus be seen in them. I have seen other people who the world would call, you know, a beauty contest winner. And they're actually ugly because all they think about is themselves and how beautiful they are, you know. You see, you can go from one extreme to the other. But you see, in Joseph's case, he was not only attractive on the outside, he was also beautiful on the inside. And you know, you can be beautiful on the inside, and that beauty can be seen. Oh, it was seen in Joseph. May it be seen in you. Well, the Lord's designed you just the way he wanted to design you. And so we find that Potiphar's wife, she wanted to sin with Joseph. every day. She would bug him about that, especially when Potiphar was away. She wanted Joseph to sin. And Joseph said to her over and over again, I cannot do it. It would be sin against God. Oh, God, why do you always have to bring God into it for? Who cares about God? Yeah, she wanted him to sin with her. But Joseph knew that it would be against God. So one day, Joseph was in the house, all alone with Potiphar's wife. And when she saw that she was all alone with Joseph, she trapped him. And when Joseph saw that he was trapped, why, what Joseph did is he fled. And as he fled, what she did is she ripped his coat right off of him. And again, Joseph lost another coat. And as she ripped that coat off of him and Joseph fled, she screamed to the servants and she said to the servants, that Hebrew that my husband brought in here, he has mocked me. He tried to humble me. Now Joseph fled the house, but he didn't flee from the area. He stayed until Potiphar came home. I like what it says in God's Word. Flee also youthful lust, but follow after righteousness, love, and peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. It goes on to say in God's Word in Romans, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the lust of the flesh. Yes? It says, there is no temptation taken to you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which ye are able, but he with the temptation will also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Then shall thy righteousness come forth as the light. Yes, and thy judgments as the noonday. Oh, Joseph was honoring the Lord. And when Potiphar came home, the word of God says that right away, she said to him, that Hebrew that you brought here, he tried to mock me and humble me. The Bible says that Potiphar got very angry. But you know the interesting thing about it? The Bible doesn't say who he got angry with. No, I believe he got angry with his wife. Oh, he would have known what kind of a woman she was. And what happened to Joseph was this. He wound up in prison. But you know, fellas and girls and men and women, if Potiphar had believed completely what she said, Joseph wouldn't have been sent to prison. Joseph would have had his head removed. He would have been killed for that kind of sin. But you see, Joseph wound up in prison. Oh, somebody might say, what good did it do Joseph to serve God? And you might ask yourself that question, what good does it do to serve God? All Joseph got is more troubles. There's a verse in the New Testament that says, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials that shall try me, as though some strange thing happened upon me. The trials of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth. Oh, you see, the end hasn't come yet, fellas and girls. Men and women, he had troubles. But you know the very first thing it says about Joseph in prison is this. The first thing it says is that God was with him. I like that. That's one of my favorite verses in the Bible, where it says in Hebrews chapter 13, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I like it because you can read it frontwards or backwards, and it means the same what thing. Frontwards, you say, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Backwards, thee forsake nor thee leave. Never will I. Isn't that precious? Oh, what a wonderful thing to know that the Lord was with him. So Joseph, he winds up with his third coat. This time, it's a prisoner's coat. Oh, he lost his coat of many colors. He lost his servant's coat. But he did not lose his character. And the Lord was with him. And you know, in no time at all, why, it says that the Lord prospered Joseph in prison. Now, you know and I know that in the end of the story, he really prospers, but it says where he prospered is in Potiphar's house and in prison. I suppose that Potiphar would have said to the jailkeeper, you got a good man here, let me tell you. Whatever you ask him to do, he'll do it. And he'll do it right. You'll like him. And he did. Because you see, it wasn't long and Joseph was put in charge of the other prisoners. And the jailkeeper, he also prospered. And he recognized that he prospered because Joseph. Because of Joseph. Well, one day, after Joseph had been there for some time, lo and behold, in came two more prisoners who came from the palace. Both had offended the Pharaoh or the king of the land. The one was the chief baker. The other was the chief butler. And it was the captain of the guard that brought them to the prison. Now you and I know who the captain of the guard was. And the captain of the guard said to the jailkeeper, I want Joseph to take care of these men. Sure. So Joseph was put in charge of taking care of the baker and the and he would have enjoyed it because you see, why, they had all kinds of things to talk about the outside world and about the palace. Yes. But one day, when Joseph came in and made his rounds to see the baker and the butler, he spoke to the fellows and he said, what are you guys so sad about? Oh, last night we had dreams. Both of us dreamed. And we were in our dreams. Well, do not the interpretations of dreams belong to God, said Joseph? Tell me your dreams and I'll tell you what they mean. So it was the butler that spoke up first and the butler said, I was in my dream, and in my dream, I saw a vine, and on this vine was three branches. And what happened was this, that the branches began to blossom, and then they budded, and then they brought forth clusters of grapes. Yes. And then I went and took one of those clusters of grapes and I squeezed it in my hand. And in my other hand, I had the Pharaoh's cup and I put the juice into the cup. Oh, said Joseph, it's a great dream for you. The three branches that are on the vine speak of 3 days. And in 3 days, what's going to happen to you is you're going to get out of this place and you, yes, are going to get your job back. You're going to be the butler and serve him his cup again. Now think on me, said Joseph, when it's well with you, and speak a word for me before the king. Oh, just like Joseph wanted to be thought about, let me tell you, when the Lord Jesus gives us the good news of our salvation, he wants to be thought about too. That's why we always have the remembrance service here before we have this service.
because he wants us there to remember him. Well, we find that when the baker found out what the butler heard, why, the baker was eager to tell his dream. And the baker said, "I was in my dream also. And in my dream, I had three white baskets upon my head. And in the uppermost basket, I had all kinds of baked meats. But the birds of the air came, and they ate the baked meats, all the baked goods that I had." "Oh, I'm sorry to tell you," said Joseph, "but those three white baskets speak of 3 days also. And in 3 days, what's going to happen to you is you're going to be taken out of this prison, but you will be hung." It wasn't good news to give to the baker, but I am sure that Joseph would have said to him, "Prepare to meet thy God." I like that verse of Scripture that's found three times over, once in Joel, once in Acts, and once in Romans, where it says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And oh, listen, Joseph would have told that butler, or baker rather, to be prepared for eternity. Do you know something? You don't know when you're going to die. I don't either. But when I die, all that's going to die of me is just this body. The real me is going home to be with the Lord. What about you? What happened to the baker after he died? Oh, it came to pass, just like Joseph said. The butler got his job back. The baker was taken out and hung. But where did he spend eternity? I don't know. The Bible doesn't say. But the question is, where will you spend eternity? I don't know. But you know. And if you don't know for sure where you're going to spend eternity, then I want to say, you stay behind. I'll be up here for a few minutes. One of the teachers or one of the other counselors here will be glad to help you, to show you how you can know you got eternal life. Oh, you need to prepare to meet God. Every eye closed and head bowed. Father, again, as we bow in your presence, we just want to thank you for the Word of God. And how I thank you for the fact that it was written so that we can know, not think or hope, but know we've got eternal life. And so if there's someone here that's troubled about their sin, they're not sure where they're going to spend eternity, give them courage to stay behind so they can know the joy of their sins forgiven. Be with us now as we separate, for we ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Lights are on and you're dismissed. Thanks for coming.